the rain, the sea, and Ninoy. She took everything she could carry when she left Japan. She didn't know where she would find it, but she knew where she was going, on her way back to the islands. It had been a rich experience living in Japan, lots of experiences, too many to think about. She keeps flashing on the image of Junji, the Yakuza boyfriend, Ebisuya. She said goodbye without emotion. She had become very Japanese after those 4 years living outside Kobe in a small fishing village. She reached the islands, came looking for some brand new music. Something was out there. She could feel it drawing her there. The country and the people had become part of her. It was hot in Manila. Every day it was hot. She was still living in Japan when he was killed. He was returning home. He was going to run for president. Democracy would return at long last. They really did believe in our democracy. The people embraced our values. They were thankful to us for saving them. She read about it one morning in Sumaku. He was gunned down as he was leaving the plane by some lone gunman. The gunman was seen in all the newspapers, lying on the tarmac, lying in the hot sun for 12 hours. No one moved the body. But she knows that is not the truth. She was on her way back to the islands. He was walking down her dream path when she saw him walking by. No glance, no look. He walked on. She took her dreams down to the sea and she dove into the water. Her skin turned to bronze. Her hair turned golden blonde. But he walked on. She saw his silhouette as he sat beside the cave. His flute carried his feelings on the wind. And as his eyes secretly watched her, she took off all her covering and she dove down into the sea of dreams. The girls began to gather around the fire, but still he avoided her until they told him of her music. And then the pain began. She watched his defenses grow. And on that first night, after the moon was full, they walked on down along the sea. They both lacked the strength to leave it alone, and in their hearts, they pledged to all the stars above that the music was their way of turning all that love on. They dove down into the sea of dreams. She brought the music back to the city. A country cried when Ninoy died. He was just trying to right what was wrong, put his people back on track to where they once belonged. To where they once belonged. But they wouldn't accept the changes, so they quickly rearranged it. When they killed this man, they thought it would be over and done. Oh, what a shame. Tell me, brother, who's to blame? A country cried when Ninoy died. The recording was done in a studio in Manila. Upstairs, the producer was meeting with the chief justices of the Supreme Court to discuss the truth around Ninoy's death. He would prove that it was not Gallman who shot Ninoy, but rather Gallman had been killed the night before and placed in a refrigerated truck overnight. Then he was thrown out onto the tarmac, frozen sun. Who killed Ninoy? For 12 hours, Gallman lay there after Ninoy's death. 12 hours to allow him to thaw out. It was surreal, all of it. The song was banned on government radio, but they played it on opposition radio. She had to leave the country. She was passionate about his death, about the people, about the fact that we were about to send $100 million in military aid to Ninoy's country. She came back to her country. Everybody looked at her like she had already died. No one wanted to listen. She heard they were going to try and defeat him. So many candidates running, it was a circus. And in the end, it was Ninoy's wife who was elected president. People power!